And there's that caveman punch by Trevor Lee. Alberto's to the floor.
Sanjay follows up. Super kick to Lashley. The X Division champion now. Caught out of midair. Lashley, bam! Delivers with a power slam.
You got to be kidding me. The power, the unmatched strength of Lashley with that power slam to
Almost
Sanjay.
Put him through the ring.
Oh, yeah. Good grief.
Sanjay Dutt has not moved. And now, look out, low key. Going to the top rope. So dangerous. Here he comes.
Warrior's way. It connects.
Low key connects on the X Division champion and gets the pin.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty wiped right now. I mean, I was just telling you, it was just a long day at work. I just waited 2 hours for a shit sandwich. If you live in Brooklyn, don't get a sandwich from Stay Fresh Grill and Deli. If you're ever in Brooklyn, Hayes, don't go there, okay? Don't order it from Grubhub. It'll take you 2 hours to get it. And yes. I didn't bring my avocados, which I paid an extra $1.50 for. $1.50, man? That's tight money around here.
And people Goddamn.
Are skipping me on the avocados. This shit is ridiculous.
2 hours for a sandwich at that, and you didn't get what you actually ordered. That's not good at all.
No, it's not good at all. So that's got me all tight. But how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's Thursday. The weekend's fast approaching. I'm just ready to get through this goddamn week. I'm ready for SummerSlam, to be quite honest. I'm really looking forward to that Mayweather fight the weekend after that. So I'm gonna be in for a couple of eventful weekends.
All right, yeah. I mean, the McGregor fight, I guess it'll be an event. But I'm not as excited about it, I guess, as everybody else is, just because I'm very pessimistic on the outcome. I think the most exciting aspect is, does Floyd Mayweather actually score a knockout? Because if he doesn't score a knockout against a guy who's never had a professional boxing fight,
it's a win for McGregor.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's a moral victory for the fact this whole fight is a moral victory for McGregor. The fact that he got Floyd Mayweather to accept it, as long as he doesn't go in there and get knocked out in the first round, like, hats off to him, because there's not been many people, if anyone, ever switch sports, and it's definitely nobody who switched sports and goes right into a fight of this level. So it's a win-win all the way around for him. I think it's reported that he's getting $100 million, Mayweather's getting $300 million. So McGregor hasn't made that much probably in his whole UFC career off fights. So hats off to him.
And yeah, I mean, I just the biggest loser here is the UFC, because I mean McGregor gonna laugh all the way to the bank despite his ass getting mopped on the floor. Whereas the UFC, well, now you look pretty stupid because your biggest star just lost a boxing biggest star, and hasn't that been the conversation over the past however many years, is UFC versus boxing, and then the occasional idiot will throw in wrestling.
Yeah, that's pretty much been it. What I will say this, and this is something that I've been talking about on message boards,
is if we throw in Big Show into a triple threat, Big Show comes out.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. No, right. No. UFC lost this because they couldn't convince boxing, Mayweather, whoever, to do a mixed card. Like, there should have been a couple of UFC fights on this undercard. I mean, MMA fights. Just to add to the whole spectacle of it. That bothers me that they couldn't get that done. They couldn't get that included in the deal. I just expected it to be that. But you know what? That's why you shouldn't go into shit with expectations.
Those cross-promotional. I mean, UFC's never really been into that. I mean, Bellator loves to do that with their kickboxing series. And, I mean, it seems like pretty much every other big MMA organization out there has had or actively has a working relationship with some sort of non-MMA entity, be it like kickboxing or something. UFC, they sign their fighters to complete. You know, you cannot fight outside of the UFC, whether it be in any other competition. You know, they're very strict about that, and you'd have to get, like, you know, a pretty significant waiver to go do that. I mean, some guys have done that for jiu-jitsu, but certainly not for something as punishing as boxing. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if this sets a precedent at all. I mean, if McGregor gets wiped. I don't see this ever happening for another fighter in the UFC, unless they're specifically like a boxer turned into MMA fighter. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say never, but this doesn't seem to set a good precedent for UFC fighters going forward, which I think is a good thing, because they should stay in their lane, because, I mean, a boxer that comes over into the cage, it doesn't work well either. But anyway, we're talking about this fight, and we're not making any points that nobody else has not made before. So
exactly. Anyway, one point that I do want to make. This is it, and I'll drop it.
Yeah.
If, let's say, by God, if it happens, if McGregor gets a couple of combinations in there and knocks Mayweather on his ass just once, not even knocks him out, but is that enough of a victory for MMA, UFC, and Conor McGregor?
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a little bit. What was your question?
I was saying that if McGregor gets in there and knocks Mayweather down, I'm not saying knocks him out, I'm not saying wins the fight, but if he gets a strings of combination together to where he puts Mayweather on the mat just one time, is that a victory for McGregor as far as a moral victory?
That's not a moral victory. That is a legitimate, insane, stunning victory. If he would, okay, you know, if he trips him, then no. But if he legitimately causes a count to go up, that's the biggest upset in sports. I mean, he's not going to win, so that's impossible. But the biggest upset in sports will be him, you know, getting a count on Mayweather. If that happens, I'll eat my sock or something. I don't know.
All right, now that's it. It's just I think about those type of things. Like you said, I don't think McGregor is gonna win. I wish that he would win. I just don't think it's gonna happen. There's no way in hell I'll put money on that.
I mean, and the money's going in on McGregor right now because people think it's a good value when it's not. It's not a good value, folks. It would be a good value to buy all the Floyd Mayweather stock. But, you know, it's just one guy's opinion.
Hey, you know, we're just a couple of wrestling podcasters talking boxing right now. That's all.
Yep, on a GFW podcast.
Yeah, we have to talk about it, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, we're too high on it. I mean, I thought it was for a final episode of the tapings, which it certainly felt like, it wasn't too bad.
I don't know if I can agree with that. The crowd was completely dead through most of this show.
Well, I mean, the crowd is normally dead, as they are often want to be. But yeah, let's get into this episode of Let Me Talk to You and get into the review.
All right.
I hope you're sitting down, eyes peeled, ears open, and whether you want to or not, let me talk to you.
All right, so August 10th, 2017, myself and Hayes, two very tired gentlemen, staying up into the wee hours of the night to review GFW and Anthem's Impact. Do I have to say that? Because I got both GFW and Anthem in that logo, so I feel like I got a credit. Both parties there. Who's wrestling television is this? I don't know.
Hell, who knows? I don't, just put Jarrett's name on it. That's all that really matters. But I will say this: that Destination X logo, I love that. I don't know why.
That was a clean looking logo.
Yeah. Which, you know, this company since Anthem's taken over has had some very questionable logos. That one gets the thumbs up.
Well, Well, okay, let me stumble out of the gate right there. Just limp in with that bumble of nonsense. But the show didn't exactly limp in. The show brawled into your television screens today with a brawl between LAX and Veterans of War. Why were these two brawling to begin the night? Just because they had a match later?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Is that just because they had a match? And I guess LAX was trying to assert their dominance, but that's really the only thing I could think of.
And so these two are just fighting for no real reason. They have a street fight later in the night. You would think that these two teams would have had some long-term feud or something, but considering all the brawls and stuff they had today.
Yeah, I mean, at least they tried.
How many times are you going to sigh on this episode, man?
Oh, God. I'm trying. Let me stop. Hold on. Let me get myself together. Let's stop the sigh.
It's not a criticism. It's just me saying, oh, my God. That's just it's emblematic of this episode tonight.
Very much so.
Video package for Sienna. Then we go into a great way to start the show. Sienna has set up shop in the ring. She's staged a sit down, and we get to open up the show with Sienna staging a sit down. Then Karen Jarrett comes out there, which only adds to the excitement of the situation. I think they deliberately made this segment really boring so that when we get the surprise return of Gail Kim, we'll get some heat behind her. Happy to see Gail Kim back, but I think that that honestly was compounded by how bad it was leading up to Gail Kim coming out.
Well, I mean, this whole segment for me was just pretty much just awkward and terrible. Like, Sienna, not a very good talker. Karen Jarrett, I just don't want to see. And Gail Kim gets the mic and tries to cut a little promo there, and she's not that good either. But then when they finally start brawling, I'm like, okay, Gail Kim hits the most awkward looking suicide dive to the outside that I have ever seen in my life. This just,
yeah, she barely even connected on that.
Exactly. Nothing in this segment was a positive to me. This was just, like you maybe low expectations. So at least they started it off low. They dropped me low. Almost anything after this would have just had me thinking it was the best thing in the world, because this opening segment, I just did not enjoy this at all. What about you, Josh?
Oh, well, I've made it plainly clear that I thought it was really boring. Gail Kim came out, which I'm happy to see. I'll be happy to see her wrestle a match next week. But yeah, so that's all I can say. Sienna is not, I mean, she's a perfectly fine heel in the ring, but she's not the person you want to start off your show with an open mic and, you know, all the time in the world. She's not that compelling. And Karen Jarrett definitely does not add to compelling in any way. So after that, we get Grado and Joe Park, you know, talking about how they're scared to face Kongo Kong tonight. I still don't even want to wrap my mind around this storyline. I saw somebody post on the TNA subreddit a very good point. Why are we so concerned about Grado's citizenship when Kongo Kong hails from parts unknown?
Hey, I've never thought about that, but that's a very, very solid point.
Laredo Kid and Garza Jr. versus Mara Fuji and El Hijo de Fantasma, or as everybody on this broadcast says, Hijo de Fantasma. My God, does anybody take Spanish? This, I thought, was actually a really fun match. Random, it just felt like WCW took over for about 10 minutes here, and we did get like a 10-minute match that I thought was very fun, fast-paced. It was a little bit too spotty at times, I think, but man, Hijo de Fantasma looked great. I mean, I think essentially everybody looked great. Garza Jr.'s ripping off the pants spot has got to go. I'm not a big fan of that spot. And Mara Fuji, I think, looked pretty dumb when he was just wowed by it and then got kicked in the face. I don't know. Just doesn't make anybody look good, to be honest with you. And Mara Fuji hit the sliced bread for the win. I thought the shoulders were up. Maybe we'll have a controversy next week, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. I think that was just some sloppiness there. But this match was a solid match. Like I said, it almost anything would have picked me up after that opening. But I do enjoy Mara Fuji. I do enjoy Laredo Kid and Garza Jr. So this match was kind of everything I wanted to. What did you think about that GTS spot in the middle of the match? I've never seen that's not his finish. I don't think I've ever seen him hit a GTS before.
I haven't seen him hit a GTS either, but they didn't play it up as if it was a finisher or even one of his signature moves. You know how a lot of Impact wrestlers have signatures like EC3's TK3, et cetera, maybe they'll add that as a finish or as a signature, maybe not a finisher. But yeah, they didn't play it up like it was like a protected move, I didn't think.
Yeah, they didn't. So that's a little odd. I mean, it is the GTS, but the match itself was very solid. I like the length of it. That just sounded weird, but I like everything about this match.
I know you like the length, man. You're a big length guy.
Yeah, there you go. You got to go long.
Doesn't matter what you fill it with, just go long. You get an Ohio versus everything promo after this. I don't give a shit about this tag team. This is a weird-ass promo. You know what tag team I do want to see? The Swedish Dicks.
I did DVR that that show.
You so DVR'd it. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go check it out.
We might have to do a Swedish Dicks review next week.
Let's do it. It sounds like some good pre-show content.
Anyway, are you at all excited for Ohio versus everything? This name is cringeworthy on another level.
Yeah.
And you are an Ohioan at the moment, so
I am an Ohioan. No, not at all. No, fuck Ohio versus everything. They have to show it, prove it to me in the ring, because right now it's just after an awkward promo, I'm good on them right now.
I'm really good on this Congo Kong, Grado Joseph Park, Laurel Van Ness storyline.
Oh, jeez.
Cannot wrap my mind around any of it, and this is when you really feel that this was the last episode of the tapings. This is a total last taping, type of feel right here with Congo Kong in a handicap match versus Grado and Joseph Park. It was under 3 minutes. It was terrible, and it was pretty much exactly what you'd expect. I don't know. Grado deserves better. Joseph Park should be back to Abyss. Where the hell is Father James Mitchell? And Congo Kong, I don't need to say anything else about that gimmick that I haven't already said.
Yeah, this is the match of the forgotten ones. Grado is so much better than this. He's so above this storyline. It's ridiculous. I like the fact that Hot Mess Van Ness is involved. I love her character. Say what you want about it. It sold me on it. But what did you think about Tyrus coming out to make the save? Like, what? All we've seen Tyrus do is stand behind Bruce Pritchard. How did he get involved in this?
That's what I was saying. Literally this time last week, he was just standing next to Bruce Pritchard, and now all of a sudden he's just calling his own shots, coming out to his own hi-hat ridden music. Also, did you notice that? Like, him and Congo Kong's music is just like nothing but hi-hats and various sounds in the background. It's very confusing if you have both of these two in the same ring. But was anybody clamoring for this match? Was anybody like, we need to see Congo Kong and Tyrus in a winner in a donut on a pole match? I mean, I don't understand.
Not that I know of, but I think that it could be a good match. Don't get me wrong. I like if Grado and Tyrus are paired back together. But it just seems like a waste of having Joseph Park in the storyline. If you're going to go to Tyrus, like, have Joseph Park turn back into Abyss. Like you said, that's all simple. Monster versus monster. You don't have to pull someone out who's had nothing to do with the storyline over the course of it at all of a sudden to save these two guys. And I'm fucking tired of Joseph Park. You got Abyss, who over his career is just the most extreme guy in TNA to a certain extent. And now he's back to Joseph Park. Why? Like, it was funny at first. I thought that after they had the last pay-per-view and, you know, he turned back into Abyss with Mitchell coming out there, that would be it. That should have been it. He should have stayed Abyss. They had to pull this Joseph Park shit out of the pocket again.
I think there's potential with the Joseph Park character because he's so committed to the facials and the acting and the over-the-top nature of it. I think that there's definitely a room and just in better environments. They're not writing well for him at all. I thought that certain parts of the build to Slammiversary and, you know, certain of his interactions with JB were okay, but it's like, I just, the way they're using him right now pales in comparison to Abyss. Everybody and their brother knows that, so why don't we just move on and just do it? Especially when you brought back the old character in Father James Mitchell, you know, at SummerSlam, and just like that, we've reverted back. I said this last week, and I'll say it again, I don't understand it. And I really hope this changes the live TV show next week.
Yeah, I mean, live TV with Impact usually delivers, so I'm looking forward to that. I did not know next week was going to be live. I didn't pay attention to that until they said it for the first time. So, I mean, kudos off to them. Hopefully they deliver. I think that they will. They've been making a big deal out of that. Plus, we're getting Alberto El Patron coming back from his suspension, which I don't understand the point of suspending him when he actually missed no time. Because these tapings were done before he was suspended, and he's back before they tape again. So whatever there, but I have high hopes for this Destination X show.
Does Patron's legal troubles, does that factor into next week's title match?
I don't know if it factors in, but either way, I hope Low-Key wins. So if that's the result that it makes us get, more power to it. Low-Key's a better talker. When he was cutting his promos backstage, like, everything about Low-Key makes me want to see him as the champion for a little while. And the fact that he's with LAX, who is the best thing probably on this Impact show for me every week, is a win-win. LAX needs to get all the titles. Just give him all the goddamn titles.
What gets me about Low-Ki joining LAX is now he intersperses Spanish into his promos, which I find hilarious. It's so out of place, and he just randomly says something in Spanish, immediately translated into English, and what he says in Spanish is far from complicated, so it makes me wonder if he's really fluent in Spanish. And also makes me wonder, is it required to speak Spanish to join LAX? I would assume so. And if so, if they expand like NWO, I really want to see Trevor Lee try to speak Spanish in that group. That'd be really funny.
Oh, man. But okay, so here's my thing, and I wanted to talk to you about this. So it's all but confirmed that Rey Mysterio is probably going to be coming to GFW. And it's just coming at a perfect time with this whole LAX and Alberto El Patron storyline going on. Do you think that Rey Mysterio gets involved on behalf of LAX, or does he come in opposed to LAX? And possibly, do we get him replacing Alberto El Patron in the main event picture, since, you know, Alberto has his issues? We'll just leave it at that.
You know, it's really interesting, because if he joins LAX, then you position Mysterio essentially as a heel, because they've been piping in boos for Low-Ki, despite the fact that, you know, obviously the live crowd loves Low-Ki. I mean, it's whenever they have to turn down the piped up boos and actually let the ring announcers speak, I forget his name, you can hear the crowd in the background. So it's pretty lackluster audio work on their behalf. Anyway, you're definitely positioning Mysterio as a heel, which I don't know how well that works considering how massive of a star he was. So if you could definitely turn him into a huge face, but at the same time, I don't know if you've put him versus LAX, if you put Mysterio over in the end, I don't think it does LAX any favors. And LAX feuding with Rey Mysterio, maybe it helps them, I don't know. But I think that it would be really cool if they just let Rey Mysterio join LAX and got rid of the piped in boos and just let the stable be kind of that heel face, whatever you want, kind of dynamic that Roman has. You know, if you want to boo him, cheer him if you want, but, you know, don't position them as a heel or face. Just let them get over with however they're being reacted by it with the crowd. So I would personally love to see Mysterio join LAX. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's basically how I feel too. If Mysterio can join LAX, I just think it makes the most sense. We already know that he has a relationship with Conan. Most of the wrestling audience kind of knows about that relationship. It just would make Rey Mysterio coming out in Destination X to get involved and help Low-Ki win that title and take it off El Patron would just be perfect. And it may be what turns the tide on that group. And like you said, you can have him do the heel face dynamic. So it's all win-win for me.
Hell, it turns the tide on that group. It turned the tide for the company. I mean, that'd be the biggest star this company has had in maybe ever. I mean, seriously, I don't think I think Rey Mysterio Jr. would be the biggest star this company's ever had.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we could see maybe how that would affect GFW going forward, how it would affect the ratings of the TV show. I mean, everything. And you got to think that with all these Lucha Underground contracts coming up, and I'm not saying sign everybody from Lucha Underground, but if you bring in Rey Mysterio and treat him well, and he can go in and talk to other people and maybe be your ambassador, we can see a tide turning to get some more talent in GFW. You never know what these little things can do. So it's a huge coup for GFW to really bring in Rey Mysterio and highlight him.
Yep, and the man that is the most happy about that would be Jeff Jarrett, and he's featured prominently in the promo that's the repeat of last week from Live from American Top Team. I don't think we need to say anything else about that. We also get a video package for the Trevor Lee versus Sanjay Dutt ladder match to determine the actual X Division champion. That one should be fun next week, I think.
Oh yeah, that they've been doing the X Division very well, especially with the cup, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I'm really looking forward to that ladder match.
After this, we get a new segment that I could go without in the future. It's called Down and Dirty with Dutch. What a title. And Dutch Mantel asks them stupid questions, such as, where would you rate yourself as an athlete in the world? Just mind-numbingly dumb questions. Lashley eventually calls Seidel an X Division guy, even though he just won this belt months ago. he's calling people X Division guys. I just didn't think that this was a great segment much at all. And I think that the format was just terrible. I mean, Dutch sitting there like being like, well, do you think you can beat him? Well, do you think you could beat him? There's no need for him. Just let them talk to each other.
Exactly. And as much as Lashley grew on the mic over the course of the last year or so, year plus, this was kind of a throwback to him not being that good. And maybe it was just the fact that the format, he may have not felt comfortable in it. And Matt Sydal, by God, that man should almost never talk. Just the fact that they're building them up as a serious contender to Lashley is almost laughable to me right there. But then when you put him in a talking segment and just the things he has to say just really meant nothing to me. I think the match is going to be fine because both these guys are solid workers. But the story that's been told with these two, I have not been behind it all. Matt Sydal just comes off as whiny to me.
Well, it's the same story they told with Lashley versus Eddie Edwards. Lashley versus the X Division guy. And I don't think it's that enthralling of a story. That being said, I think that Lashley does a great job of working with these kind of guys and getting them over as a result. So it's not to shit on the program in of itself. I just think it's being executed really poorly. So after that, we get Karen Jarrett fighting backstage with Bruce Pritchard. Man, this show felt really, outside of the opening segment, I mean, it didn't feel overly infested with the authority, which is, I mean, at least a little bit of a breather. But, I mean, God, do they not learn from their mistakes? I mean, just nobody wants overbearing authority figures on television. And I don't understand why they think that people want that. I don't understand why they think that this is good television and that they need to put this kind of stuff on there. And this was a throwaway segment at that, but it's building towards the next week where Bruce Pritchard says he will have an announcement that will shake the entire locker room. It's like, I don't need announcements that will shake the entire locker room. Give me matches that will shake the entire locker room.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that anymore. Do you think that this big announcement, is it something as far as titles, matches? Do you think they maybe a debut? What do you think the big announcement's going to be?
Oh, God, I didn't even give it a second thing of thought. I mean, I don't know, like, what... I think it would be something involving EC3. God, maybe they bring back Dixie. I don't know. I mean, just because EC3 and... you know, Pritchard or obviously buddy. I don't know. Maybe we'll clear up who's in charge around here, because I still have no idea what Bruce Pritchard and Karen Jarrett do, since neither of them have titles when they're introduced. It's just, and here's Karen Jarrett, whose husband owns the company, and here's Bruce Pritchard. He has a podcast.
Yeah, I don't know what else it could be. I try to sit there and think about it repeatedly after it was announced. Like, I don't know, other than the Rey Mysterio thing, which I hope they tie in a different way. But as far as I know, there hasn't been any other rumors of any other signings. So I don't know. I really just don't know. So I'm not even going to try to speculate in good programming because I have no fucking idea.
Well, I don't know why the Veterans of War were given a slot against the tag team champions of the world in LAX, because they proved that they have absolutely no charisma, and they have just the chemistry of a pair of bricks with no grout. I mean, it's just, these guys were completely flat out there. I thought LAX were great, as they always are, but they had nothing to go off of here with the Veterans of War. I think that this gimmick, again, when they debuted, we were like, this is a Bush-era gimmick that's coming out like 12 years too late. Nobody's interested in this kind of thing. These guys have no, like I said, no charisma. I mean, who is cheering for these guys, you know? I mean, if they're trying, I really just, it feels like a Vince McMahon team. Everyone wants to say Vince McMahon's out of touch. This proves that there's more than just Vince McMahon in terms of old people running wrestling out of touch.
Absolutely. I mean, luckily they did put him in a street fight, which, no, gave them some type of protection, because if they were just in just a regular wrestling match, this would have been the match that I just went to sleep on. Now, it's the course of this whole show, but the Veterans of War, they just need to go away. Like, there's Josh, me and you could sign with GFW today, and I think we would put on a better match.
I don't know about that.
We could do it, Josh. You're a former whatever the fuck champion. Don't doubt your own skills.
That's facts. What's our tag team name?
That's a good question. I have no idea. We just call ourselves the Handsome Bastards. Let's just call ourselves that. Hell, you got a freaking Ohio tag team and veterans of war. We can be the Handsome Bastards.
Yep, it seems like that would actually fit right in with TNA's tag team gimmicks right now. As if I even know what Ohio versus everything even is as a gimmick.
Who knows, man? Who the hell knows?
They just come out every week into the ring and they're like, Cleveland's actually a good city. And, you know, just like doing all that like Ohio apologetic stuff. I'm sorry. You know, you moved to the state. I'm glad I'm not in there anymore, brother.
Oh, man. Columbus has been great to me so far. I mean, luckily.
Columbus is a good town. Yeah. You know, but the rest of the state. Eesh.
Yeah, thank God, man. Thank God I'm in Columbus, because if I was in some bumfuck place like Cleveland, I'd podcast all goddamn day long. We'd have content out the wazoo, because there'd be nothing else to fucking do.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you think there's so much alcohol around there? we do get this backstage Patron, Sanjay Dutt, and Matt Sydal. I love this, because Patron is talking to Sydal as if Sydal's match isn't a number one contenders match for his belt. So just the lack of competitiveness here was a little bit, I find these promos, which apparently people in the back think are so necessary, wherein, you know, the three faces and the three heels, they go over their plans. Like, how are they going to do? WWE does this with every single tag team match, you know, the six-way tag. Apparently GFW is doing it now. I don't think it adds anything to the match, and I think it makes everybody just look like, you know, these are just your generic faces, and here, generic face one, I'm going to say my motivations. Generic face two, I'm going to say the same thing. It gets stale, man.
It absolutely does. It's the heel version of this was good, just solely off Low-Key. He made that segment for me. I don't even remember what the other guy said, if they said anything, but what Low-Key did with the, like you said, talking in Spanish back to English, the faces had nothing entertaining like that in it. It was just a bunch of baby faces buddying it up. I would have rather seen some tension between El Patron and Matt Sydal. That would have made it a little bit better for me. But other than that, this was a dead segment for me.
And unfortunately, the next match I thought was pretty dead as well. I was pretty surprised. The Super X Cup semifinals between ACH and Ishimori. Another 10-minute match on this show, which on paper, Ishimori, ACH, 10 minutes. Sounds like a recipe for a really good match, but something, I don't know, it was just, it didn't really build too much in the match. I don't know. It, and the finish just kind of happened, and it didn't really feel like a 10-minute match, and it certainly didn't feel like a Super X Cup match, especially given the talent involved.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward. I like the fact that Ishimori went over. I'm looking forward to the match that we're getting in between him and Desmond Xavier. But
you're getting your black cruiserweights mixed up.
Man. Exactly. Too many black eyes. But I don't know, man. The ACH, I would not be surprised if he's not 100%. Because since he's been in TNA, he hasn't quite been the ACH that I expected. Like, when he came in, I'm like, this is perfect for the X Division. They're building that talent. And he really hasn't had the match that I've come accustomed to seeing him in. Like, he had great matches in ROH. I can't remember which independent. I think he had some progress matches that were absolutely fantastic as well. And it's just, it hasn't been the same in GFW. So, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he got hurt early in the tapings or something, or he was a little tense out there. I don't know what it was, but it just seems like something's missing from ACH, and he's not the same guy that I'm used to seeing.
And I just wonder if there's something backstage with Impact. I mean, we know that WWE, they have their match formula. They don't like to go away from that formula. They like their matches to pretty much all be the same. And, you know, whatever layout they have is what they stick to it. And it's well known that matches that deviate from that, it's only in the pay-per-views, and that typically leads to really good things. I wonder if Impact, for whatever reason, the people in the back are trying to do the same thing and standardizing matches. I don't really feel like that's the case, but at the same time, week after week, we do get, you know, an X Division match where it just it features a number of spots. It doesn't feel very well sold. Same thing with some of these random tag matches they throw in. I don't know. And this always happens with Impact, really, because they have, you know, I think that one of our few complaints sometimes, some of the main events from last year and over the course of this show has been that people kick out of finishers too much and things like that. And it just feels like there's this necessity in Impact to have these great matches, you know, to have these wow matches. And when you're forcing like these crazy matches down people's throat and you're basically just saying like, this is a crazy match, look at all these spots that we're throwing at you, and it doesn't weave together, it doesn't flow together, you know, you're just throwing it all against the wall, and I don't think it sticks very well. I think that it's just a bunch of shit on the wall, and that's perfectly fine. This is a weird analogy, but you know, it's just, I don't think it works very well in this environment, and I think that might maybe explain the whole phenomenon you're seeing with ACH. I don't know, and this is complete guesstimation.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense, and especially with the live episode coming up, you know, they were at the end of the tapings. Maybe they wanted everybody to play it safer so that they can have their full roster at their disposal for the, technically, it's not a pay-per-view, but for the Destination X episode of Impact. So I just don't know, but you just made complete sense out of it for me. We're going to go with that as being the answer.
Main event time, 6-man tag match.
Was this a main event? Was this really a main event? Because it didn't feel like an Impact main event.
What's an Impact main event to you?
Impact main events are usually, like, I've come to expect high things from the Impact main event. And while this match was okay, I don't know, it just felt like it was missing something to me. All the guys in this match, I just didn't leave what I was expecting.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I thought this is my favorite match of the night. To be honest, I thought that all three or all six did a good job of building to their matches next week. Loki getting the pinfall. They're protecting his finisher. I think that Patron, not Del Rio. Gotta get used to that still. Patron had some really good moments in this match. Again, just makes me wonder. Just this guy could just be so good if he just kept his shit together. Anyway. But I thought he looked great. I thought everybody in this match looked fantastic. And I think that it did really well for a 6-man tag, you know, with your three different matches, just throwing them all into one match. It's the conventional formula that I think that they actually pulled off and did a decent job with. But I can understand where you're coming from. It's a very tired formula, 6-man tag, approaching 20 minutes in time. Look, if they don't catch you at some point in the match with something they do, it's going to be tough to reel you back in. It's a long time. It can slog on at certain times, especially if people are trying to sell. I mean, it was a long match and it's a tiresome formula. And I don't think these three feuds are particularly super hot either. So, you know, I enjoyed the match, but it's certainly understandable that it could be seen as boring by many.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, that's just me. I'm glad that you got out of it. I mean, and hopefully more people feel the same way that you do and not with me, because I still, as bad as this company has been for a stretch of time, I still want to see Impact succeed. I like a lot of the guys. I honestly think Impact has a really good roster. They have a solid roster. A couple more additions. I'm glad that they're actually giving the X Division guys a chance. But it's just something about the show that it just feels like it's missing. So hopefully that big announcement coming next week fills that up. And your point on El Patron just really being a good, the guy is a great wrestler when he wants to be. When he's zeroed in and focused, he absolutely deserves to be in the main. He absolutely deserves to be a world champion. But get off whatever you got going on. I almost said something that I would regret saying, but he needs to get focused and get invested in what he's doing, and I think we can have an absolute, like, because this feud's up and down this card with people he's never really wrestled before. That I would love to see. And so let's just hope El Patron can get himself together. He needs some kind of self-help. You know what? We need Titus. El Patron needs to join the Titus brand.
I don't know where you got that from. You were just going on about one thing, and then all of a sudden you were just like, boom, Titus brand.
Everything. I don't know if you've been listening. Like, I used to hate Titus. I used to, every time Titus showed up on Raw, I would literally go on a rant. I love the Titus brand now. Because Titus, his fucking big ass gums and his big ass teeth and the like, I fucking hated that shit. But the Titus brand, I've been fully behind the Titus brand. I bought stock in the Titus brand.
Baby. Dude, the Titus brand, you gotta love it. I've always, you know, I've had a soft spot for Titus because he's always been so bad that, like, he had that one promo on Darren Young last year that immediately just won me over because of how unbelievably bad it was. I was like, now that this, that's when I thought, like, this guy's the modern day Scott Steiner. I'm like, this guy really is. I mean, he just, they gave him a live mic. He stumbled over for 5 minutes and it was pure bliss for me. But anyway.
And for anyone who did not listen to the Blue Zone, definitely check it out, because that's the only place that you would hear me, Redneck, and JB book Titus O'Neil being the mouthpiece for Shinsuke Nakamura, and it's all built around Titus O'Neil taking Shinsuke to Popeye's Chicken. So definitely go listen to the Blue Zone and check that out.
That just sounds like a riveting riveting discussion you guys have there. Any last words? We have barely even talked about this main event show overall. I guess it was a passable show, but looking forward, I think that they've built a good show in next week's Destination X. Well, let's you want to run down the card real quick? Maybe give us our thoughts.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and go through it. I have the card up. If you want me to run through it, so we got the winner gets a title shot of their choosing, and that's Lashley versus Matt Sydal. That match I'm looking forward to. Like I said, I think that match is going to be good. Lashley, the work he did with Eddie Edwards last year has me thinking that this match can be of that similar quality. Matt Sydal is a good wrestler, but it's just the story that I'm not really behind. But I'm looking forward to that match. What do you think there? And I'm just taking over your hosting duties. I'm sorry.
Oh, for fuck's sakes, that doesn't matter. Again, nobody's a face or a heel. Nobody's a co-host or a host, man. It's just, it's 2017. Let people be themselves. So in terms of this match, I think it has all the pieces to be a great match. I mean, these two guys are awesome in terms of being in the ring. Like you said earlier in the night, Matt Sydal, he should just pretty much stay in the ring. I've never been impressed with anything he's got to say. But that being said, it's... You said it's a title shot of their choosing. I thought it was just a title shot for the main title, but I guess if it's of their choosing, it kind of adds in a little bit of intrigue that Sydal would win and then ultimately go after the X Division title. But I don't know about that. I think that Lashley wins, and I think that we get Lashley versus Low-Key next. I think that could be great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, give me that shit on the platter, but...
Man, I just could have just spliced that sound right there. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ah. Give me that shit right there. Man, you make some weird noises, my dude.
Hey, it is what it is, man. I don't make facial expressions, I make noises, so it is what it is.
Alrighty.
What do you want to talk about next? Which match are you looking forward to most?
I certainly don't want to talk about your facial expressions and your noises anymore. So after that, we get the knockout style match between Sienna and Gail Kim. Nobody is coming out of this match with belts but Sienna, right?
Oh, yeah. Gail Kim's not winning that title in 2017.
Also, new belts next week. Do we get them?
Yes, we have to. Either that or the following show after that, but I really hope we get new belts. Because every champion carrying around two sets of title shit is just getting ridiculous. They should have did that at the pay-per-view.
That long shot with LAX with four belts just looks comical at this point.
Yeah, man.
Super X Division, Super X Cup Tournament Finals. Desmond Xavier versus Ishimori. I think it's Desmond Xavier. They've obviously been grooming him to be a star, even though I think he's pretty generic, but he's awesome in the ring. So I got Xavier, and I think you do too, yeah?
Yeah, I got Xavier. I think this whole tournament... I mean, the purpose of it was to get him over in a sense, but like you said, he has no personality, but the in-the-ring shit, all good there.
Were you surprised to see Ishimori win tonight? I knew you said you were happy to see it, but I was kind of expecting ACH to get the rub, the same kind of rub that they've been giving Desmond Xavier. I mean, ACH, a recognizable name, and I think somebody that they could have catapulted.
Yeah, I thought so too. I want Ishimori to win, but because ACH is actually signed to the GFW contract, I believe, I expected him to go over.
X Division title ladder match. Sanjay Dutt, Trevor Lee. We touched on this earlier. I think it's going to be a great match. I think we got Trevor Lee coming out of here on top. I think that the Sanjay Dutt experiment has been fine. It worked well in India, but I think that Trevor Lee is a more compelling character by about a country mile.
Yeah, I hope Trevor Lee goes over. I hope that we eventually go back to the Everett versus Lee. You know, I've just been wanting to see that. Even though they had a little feud there, it wasn't anything special, but I hope we eventually work our way back there. Or, as we kind of talked about earlier, if a certain masked luchador makes his appearance, sign me up for that.
Coming through in the X Division, that'd be pretty great. Also, outside of that luchador, you may have the losing Matt Sydal, get into a number one contenders match and earn his way to a shot, and we get Matt Sydal versus Trevor Lee. Anyway, there's plenty of options to be had with Trevor Lee in terms of great matches and great feuds. Finally, we have the GFW title match, Alberto El Patron versus Low-Key. I said earlier, I got Low-Key, and I wouldn't have had Low-Key if it wasn't for Patron's legal issues. I think that it wasn't smart to put the belt on him, and I hope that that has scared them straight into taking the belt off of him, because you really just don't know with this guy. And the problem is that you record a series of tapings, and then you release them over the course of multiple weeks. You don't know what this motherfucker is going to get into over the course of the next few weeks to, you know, destroy the reputation of your belt. So I think you put it on Low-Key, who, for whatever reason, if we're thinking that Low-Key is the saint in a situation where we need to paint him as the good guy in a situation, Lord be with us. But Low-Key, I think, because of the El Patron's out-of-ring issues, I think gets the belt.
Yeah, I agree with you there too. Give it to Low-Key. Let him get the run with it. He's going to be the better champion overall, and I just like Low-Key better as an overall talent.
Well, our work here is done. That was Impact Wrestling tonight. Ratings. What are you going to give this one?
I'll give this one a solid 6.
Yep, I'm going to give this one a 6. Quote, what could happen out of 10? 6 what could happens out of... Oh, excuse me, I botched that. 6 what's gonna happens out of 10. You know how many times I said what's gonna happen tonight? I think I lost count. It was insane. Josh Matthews loves that phrase.
Yeah, he does.
Well, that does it for us. As you can tell by our stupendous enthusiasm, we just had a blast watching this show. And you can tell by our ratings, that is definitely a must-see show. Not exactly. But I think that Destination X next week is definitely must-see, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week to join us for that. Hayes, where can they find you online?
You can find me at CEO Hayes. That's at CEO Haize.
All right, very well. And everybody can find me online at VERLANDJ. That's Twitter, Instagram, anything. You can check me out there. Check us out, thewpn.com. Hayes, you're better with all the plugs as to where they can listen to us with some updates for our Let Me Talk to You specific listeners as to some of the growths that we've seen in WWPN lately as to where they can check us out.
Yeah, so you can definitely check us out on thewpn.com, which is just the sweet spot for all things Wrestling World Podcast Network related. But more importantly, you can check us out on iHeartRadio, which is just big for us. We're so happy to be there. There's a few wrestling podcasts there, but not as much as on iTunes. So definitely check us out there on that medium. And we're working on getting a few other places as well. But Google Play, Stitcher, all that good stuff, the same places you've always been finding us with the iHeartRadio just recently added.
All right, folks, that about does it for us next week. Destination X, we'll see you there. Thank you so much for watching, or not watching, listening to Let Me Talk to You. And we hope to join you next week. Hayes, say goodnight to the people out there.
Good night, people.
Man, what a great lullaby for the people out there. Thank you all so much for listening.
Bye-bye.